A thing that looks like a police box standing in a junkyard. It can move anywhere.
Haven, concentrate on Sin. Give priority to the detectors and the navigation systems.
There is a corridor. And the corridor is time. It surrounds all things.
On display? I eventually had to go down to the cellar. That's the display department. With a torch. The lights are probably gone. So had the stairs.
Yours is number 6.
I am not a number. I am a person.
Welcome to British Invaders, episode 180. This is the podcast all about British science fiction television, and today we are talking about The Uninvited. This is Brian from Canada.
And this is Eamon from England. Hello. Yes, it's a 1997 ITV show, 4 episodes, 50 minutes each, and it tells the story of an investigative journalist, a photojournalist, who's on the sort of trail of something very strange going on in the sort of remote Norfolk coast of England. And it all slowly builds into, well, I guess it's fairly obvious, it's a slowly building alien invasion story, Brian.
Yes, absolutely. The setup of it is the main character, Steve Blake, witnesses this terrible, violent car crash, and he sees this car go out of control and crash, and the car is completely destroyed in this explosion. And Steve is sure that he recognized the car and the driver as the chief executive of a nearby nuclear power plant. And he goes to visit the widow, this man's wife, and is shocked and surprised to see that the man he saw die in this car crash is actually still alive.
That's right. Very strange. We're going to see that several times in this show, that characters thought to be dead now seem to be alive and well and walking about. And obviously, because it was a rather sort of violent and unpleasant accident, there was an inquest, which Steve Blake attends, and the inquest decides that he was mistaken as to the identity of the driver, and that the actual driver cannot be identified because the body was so badly burnt. So there's a distinct air of mystery left for Steve, and of course he's not satisfied with that, and he continues to dig and investigate this strange case.
Yes, that's right. So getting into some of the characters here, Steve Blake is someone who used to be a journalist and now works as a photographer and lecturer at a university. He's sort of our central character, played by Douglas Hodge. And Joanna Ball, his ex-wife, is a newspaper editor. And Blake turns to her for help with his investigation. And she was played by Sylvestre Latuzelle.
Okay, then we've also got the police, who are obviously involved. And in particular, we have Chief Superintendent Philip Gates, the senior police officer in charge of the investigations. And Steve Blake's research, his investigations, will frequently bring him to the sort of door and the desk and the office of Philip Gates. And in fact, the characters will be in conflict for much of the time throughout the show. And Gates was played by Leslie Grantham, who was then, and probably still is, best known for being Dirty Den Watts in the long-running British soap opera EastEnders. And Grantham, as we'll find out in a minute when we talk about production, had quite a bit to do with this show, but we'll get to that in a moment.
Yeah, sort of an interesting, mysterious character there.
And we've also got another character involved in the investigation, somebody that Blake goes to for help and then finds out that she has her own involvement in the story, Melissa Gates. So as you can tell, that's Philip Gates' ex-wife, lots of ex-wives in this show. And Melissa Gates is a local librarian, so she has some of the documentary evidence. And she has her own theories about a local disaster, which may have something to do with the mystery, and it's certainly the disaster that made her husband's name as a successful police officer. And in fact, she has her own theories that her husband may not be the man that she married. She's convinced he's not the same man that she once knew. Melissa Gates, played by the actress Leah Williams. So she sort of completes our initial quartet of characters that we're going to see quite a lot of.
Yes, it's sort of an interesting group with some interesting relationships going on there. So as we go on in this story, Blake discovers that the two senior police officers involved were both heroes from the village of Sweet Hope. And this village had was on the coast and was destroyed in an explosion, but basically all of the residents got out. They all got to safety, and it was these two now police officers, quite high ranking, who led them out at that time years earlier. And it was Gates and his colleague Ferguson that led these 200 villagers to safety. And Gates' wife, Melissa Gates, was away. She wasn't there at Sweet Hope that night. And she believes that the survivors were all somehow changed and were not the same people as they were after the Sweet Hope incident. And no one else is convinced of that, but Melissa Gates really believes it quite strongly.
Yeah, the Sweet Hope incident is very interesting, and it drives a lot of what will happen with Steve Blake's investigations. Because not only do many of the people who survived the incident seem to be subtly changed from what they were before, but they've also all gone on to become very successful in various different walks of life. So, you know, there's obviously police officers, but there's also politicians and businessmen and leaders of industry. We find out that lots of the Sweet Hope survivors have gone on to positions of power, I would say, Brian.
Yes, a great number of them, including members of parliament and all sorts of things. And it's this very high proportion of the people are in these sort of very high up, powerful positions now.
I've seen the bodies, Gates. Whose are they?
What do you think you're doing this for?
I saw Wilson die in his car. And then he turns up safe and well, and it's happened before. And all the investigations are managed by you and Ferguson. And then my accident happens, and here you are again.
I'm here because some irrelevant halfwit with a death wish went swimming around a site full of live explosives.
It's so irrelevant, you just tried to get me killed.
No one tried anything of the sort. Your delusions flatter you.
Is that what you told Melissa? That she was imagining things, hmm? That she was spooked? To you.
Getting into our production notes, the idea for this series was actually conceived by Leslie Grantham, the actor who ended up playing Philip Gates in this. And Grantham pitched it to Anglia Television, which was one of the ITV companies at that point. And it was taken up by them and produced by Ruth Boswell, who we know from a number of shows from back in the 1970s. She created Time Slip and adapted Escape Into Night and produced The Tomorrow People. So those were all shows from the early 1970s, or much of the 1970s, for The Tomorrow People. So here, many years later, in 1997, she's still there producing and doing shows like this.
Yeah, an interesting figure in British television, and nice to see her involved in this show. And as you say, the idea came from Leslie Grantham himself, but the screenplay was actually written by Peter Bowker. It was directed for television by Norman Stone. And of course, as we've said, this is set on and around the Norfolk coast, and so they went there for their filming locations. And in particular, I think if you're familiar with the area, you'll recognise some of the seaside locations, and you'll certainly recognise some of the campus of the University of East Anglia at Norwich, which stands in for several locations in this show.
Yes, I believe they actually had Norwich standing in for London in this.
Yes, I think you'll see Steve Blake going to London, but clearly in Norwich.
So they also had some underwater film in this, some underwater footage that was quite gruesome at points, actually, with the things that one of the characters finds underwater. I won't go into too many details on that here. but it was quite impressive and looked very detailed and really quite good.
Yes, we should probably mention that Steve Blake, as well as being a journalist and a photographer, also seems to be a diver. He's got experience with diving. And although the Ministry of Defence is trying to keep people away from the Sweet Hope site, he does actually go down and dive there with a local fisherman. And as you say, he makes some rather gruesome discoveries, which I think gives the gives a rather sort of dramatic cliffhanger ending to one of the episodes. So talking of episodes, as we say, this was originally broadcast in four parts on ITV in early 1997. Not much we know about its reception at the time, other than the Radio Times, the popular British television listings magazine, called it a British X-Files. And we'll perhaps talk a little bit about that in our next episode as to whether that's really true or not. But that's how it was described by the Radio Times.
Yes, I can see why, especially at that time, that would be a big point of comparison, because the X-Files was so big at that point.
Yeah, I think, you know, the BBC, or rather the Radio Times, trying to big it up, I suppose. Or maybe it's the ITV's publicity department doing that for them.
Maybe. So we should talk about the availability on this as well.
So, looking at the availability of The Uninvited, here in Region 2, there is a DVD release, single DVD, with the four episodes, for some reason, have been edited together into two 100-minute episodes. That seems to be it. No extras on the disc, which is a shame. Available on Amazon, still in print, about £10 currently, although the price does seem to go up and down a bit. Certainly cheaper at the moment on the marketplace, and probably second-hand copies elsewhere as well. To rent, it is on Love Film, so if you're a subscriber there, you can rent this. Not on Netflix that I can see, and certainly not in the iTunes store over here in the UK. But as I say, the DVD is still fairly easy to get hold of, in Region 2 at least.
And I don't think there is a release of this in Region 1.
No, I think that's right. I think the only way to get this at the moment is the Region 2 release from Amazon over here. So, as we say, only available in Region 2 on a DVD set with no extras. Not available anywhere else that we know of at the moment, but if you have any other details about it, do let us know.
Yes, absolutely. So next time we will go a little further into this story and talk about more of the secrets of Sweet Hope and what happened there, and get into more of the conspiracy involved in this show. You can probably tell it's a bit of a conspiracy show here.
We'll also mention the one spin-off that we know about, which is a novelization. It's written by Paul Cornell. It's an interesting book, we think, and we'll talk a little bit about that in our next episode as well. Plus, we'll get to do our own reviews and recommendations, get into the bit more detail about it and whether we like the show and whether we think you should check it out.
Yes, absolutely. You can reach us at BritishInvaders@gmail.com, and you can find us at BritishInvaders.com. We are part of the Geek Culture Network. You can find us at TheGeekCultureNetwork.com, and we have a Facebook group. You can search for British Invaders on Facebook, and you will find us that way as well.
You'll also find us on the Voice of Geeks streaming internet radio, which is at VogNetwork.com. British Invaders is one of several geek-related shows that go out there. Normally we're broadcast on Monday and Tuesday evenings, and as ever, if you've joined us from Vogue Network, welcome aboard. We're glad to have you.
Yes, absolutely. So thank you for listening, and this is Brian from Canada signing off.
Yes, thank you very much, and until next time, it's Eamon in England also signing off.